I guess to wrap it up in a nutshell, at least for me personally speaking, I know I said thanks in the video, but one thing I can say for sure is that your love for God is relentless. And it's been teaching me how to pursue that same thing, because it's scary. Pursuing God relentlessly is terrifying, but I'm learning and I'm watching, and we have the perfect example. So thank you for that. All the tissues are probably all used up, so I won't keep you here long. So we're going to go ahead and just let's stand for the reading of the word, and then let's just get into it. So if you got your Bibles, let's go ahead and go to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. And I'm going to be reading from verse 13 through verse 16. So Matthew chapter 5, verse 13 through 16. And it says this. And it says, "You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven." Heavenly Father, Lord, I want to say thank you so much, Lord. In the season of Thanksgiving, Father, I'm just so grateful for every thankful moment that I'm able to have. And for those who are in attendance, Father, I know that they're grateful as well. So I speak on behalf of everyone here, Father, that there is no one that we can be more thankful to than you and your Son and what he did on the cross for us. So, Father, I just pray that as we go into this word, you just come forth with the word that you have for your people and allow it to be able to resonate and penetrate the hearts that need to hear it, Lord, so that way we can continue to grow into who it is you call us to be. So we thank you, we magnify you, and in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen. All right, you can be seated. So, last week's message was definitely one of conviction for me in numerous ways, but just like the Word of God should always do for us whenever we hear it, it also left me feeling very encouraged because ultimately it was a message of hope and victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Not only did it declare that the sting of death no longer holds power over those who believe in him, because one day he will give us imperishable, immortal bodies to live with him in eternity, it also guaranteed us that all the work that we do in the Lord will not be in vain. Paul wrapped up 1 Corinthians 15 by saying this. He says, "The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, and always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain." So Paul's objective at this point in the letter was to encourage and exhort the believers in Corinth that now that we have obtained victory in Christ, that victory should prompt them to do two things. Be steadfast and immovable, and always be abounding in the work of the Lord. And Pastor Will used two words last Sunday that I believe perfectly describe these two things. He said, not optional. He said, not optional. Paul wasn't just making suggestions that sounded good. These were commands that came straight from the lips of Christ himself. And it was with that in mind that I found myself this week in our opening scriptures, because Jesus was speaking specifically about how we as a body of Christ should be living in order to be that steadfast, immovable, and always abounding in his work type of body that he selflessly gave his life for. So before we move into chapter 16 next week, I wanted to take some time today to just really highlight and focus a little bit deeper into those two commands that Paul gave at the end of 1 Corinthians 15. In contrast to what Jesus was saying during the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 5. Because abounding in the work of the Lord is heavily predicated on how well we let our light shine for others to see. So what light is Jesus talking about? He's talking about the light that has been deposited in every single believer. And what is that? It's hope. That light is hope. Romans 15:13 says this. It says, "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and all peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound in hope." So in other words, our hope that stems from the faith we have in Christ is the light that is visible to everyone else to be able to see. And that hope being empowered by the Holy Spirit makes it so that the light is illuminating our lives from the inside out. 1 Peter 3:15 through 16 says this. It says, "But in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect, keeping a clear conscience so that those who speak maliciously against you, your good behavior in Christ, may be ashamed of their slander." So what Peter is basically saying is that as a Christian, people should be asking you why you seem to walk around with your head up during these dark times. People should be asking you, why are you able to stand in the midst of everything that you're going through? I know that in this body, personally, there are people that are going through, there are families that are going through loss and suffering and sickness and things like that. But yet, for them, they're still able to manage to go and live day by day as though, I don't say nothing's happening, but they're living as though those things aren't the end of the world. Because truth of the matter is, they're not. So if you're a Christian and no one is asking you, what are you doing? Why are you able to have this type of mentality and this type of spirit within you when you're going through things that would normally wreck a person? If they're not asking you that should ring some bells. Because what's happening is, what they're saying is that maybe my light isn't shining the way that I think it actually is, right? So Christians should be asked that question, how are you able to do it? And why is that? Especially during dark and trying times. Well, the answer is simple. The darker it is, the easier it is to see the light. Simple. The darker it is, the easier it is to see the light. And no matter how bright or dull the light, bright or dull it may be. And we, being new creations in Christ Jesus, have been made the light of the world in order that the world may see us pointing to him. So the question is, what kind of light are you shining out into the world? And if you are shining a light, how much is your light affected by the things of the world? It's two good questions, right? Because first and foremost, you can't shine a light that you don't have. So if you don't have it, there's nothing that you can do in order to be able to shine it unless you give your life to Christ and receive that light, because he himself is the light. But one thing I definitely learned last week, man, conviction. And I would try to not get emotional because I let it all out right then. But if it comes back, forgive me. But one thing I learned about myself from the last sermon was that when it comes to my light and how it shines, I'm a light switch toggler. And I see some heads nodding, and you know exactly what I'm talking about toggling the light switch on and off, on and off, on and off. Depending on the situation that I'm in, I've learned that, okay, you know what? Maybe I'm going to turn it on max because I'm with Lissandra, I'm with family, I'm good, I can turn it all the way on. I'm at work, I'm walking by someone who I really don't want to talk to, yeah, let me turn it off. And then as soon as I get past them, I'll turn it back on again. Like somehow I can turn my Christianity on and off and jump in and out whenever I want to, right? So I've learned that I'm a toggle switcher. And then what's happening is that that's actually hurting the light that I actually have on the inside. Because if I'm going and I'm switching the light over and over and over, eventually something's going to happen. The light's going to continue to weaken and get worse and worse if I continue to just toggle that switch, right? So what do I need to do? I need to learn how to keep the lights on at all times. Keep the lights on at all times. Why? Because that light has a purpose. And the purpose is it needs to be seen by those who don't know him. So therefore, when they see it, they will see Christ in me, right? So what am I doing with this toggling the light switch, right? And what is this hope that I have within me that they should be able to see? So I'm going to go a little bit further, and I'm expounding on this whole light thing in a little bit. But Peter gives the reason for the hope that we have earlier in the exact same chapter of 1 Peter chapter 1. So 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 through 7 says this. It says, "Blessed be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, by who God's powers are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by your various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold in that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and to honor at the revelation of Christ Jesus Christ." Paul also summarizes the reason for our hope perfectly in Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 5. He says this. He says, therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him, we have also obtained access by faith into this grace which we stand. And we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. So what is he saying? What are they saying? In other words, the reason we have hope as Christians in this fallen world is because we have been made right with God through the blood of Jesus Christ, who will one day return in all his glory to bring us with him to the Father for eternity. That is the hope. That right there. That is the hope. And that hope is the light that Jesus was referring to, that people must be able to identify in the life of the Christian. We as a body have the blessed privilege of being that lamp set on a stand so that our light shines out into the world so that they may see Christ in us. And we should constantly be examining the condition of our light. Because that is what Christ uses to reach the lost through his church. So the question is, what does your light look like this morning? When was the last time you did a routine checkup on your light? I'm a technician, so I'm gonna get techy on you for a second. But when was the last time you've done routine maintenance on your light to make sure that it's functioning properly so that the Lord has the highest possible quality light to work with? Or am I satisfied with just giving him a wind-up flashlight, like, here you go, Lord, and you use this to lure in whoever you can? That's not the light that he gave you. Because he gives us a light that is brilliant and it illuminates, but yet we want to use another light that's one he didn't give us, right? Because last week, again, I go back to the whole thing. The light that I have, what is it looking like? What have I been doing? Have I been leaving it on? Have I been turning it off? What areas of my life have I been going back and forth and toggling the switch? And matter of fact, why am I even doing it, right? Why am I doing that? But yet, as we're going through and listening to the sermon this week, because I was teaching the kids in the back, things are coming to my mind as I was listening to it. And I was like, you know what? This is making perfect sense. Because for me, I asked the question, when was the last time that I did maintenance? A maintenance checkup on the light that I have. So I work at Intel. And the job that I have requires us to go through and read these manuals called specs. And what specs jobs to do is to help you go through step by step and make sure that you don't miss a single thing when you go and inspect the machine that you're working on. So for me, in comparison to that, to the light that I have within, if I'm to examine myself, then I need a spec, because that's how I function. But the thing is, the Bible gives you a spec on how to examine yourself, right? So Paul, he gives the command to check spec in 2 Corinthians 13:5. So 2 Corinthians 13, chapter 5 says this. He says, examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Or do you not realize this about yourselves, that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you fail to meet the test? So the whole reason why you want to examine yourself for the light is because it's not just something that he gave you arbitrarily that has nothing to do with him. He himself is dwelling within the believer if you believe. So when you examine yourself and you're checking to see Christ, where are you at? Where are you at in my life? And am I ashamed to leave you on around certain people? Right? So what is Paul telling us to do? He's telling us to examine ourselves. So real briefly, I'm going to give you the spec that he gave me to check. And you want to write these scriptures down, you can go back and reference them later. But step one is this. Do you even have the light? Because if you don't have the light, then there's no spec to use because you don't have it. Right? There's no point for me to read IKEA furniture manual to put together a chair that I don't have. I need to get the chair first, therefore the spec makes sense. And you want to use the right spec for the right thing. You don't want to gauge your light off of somebody else's. You don't want to compare. You don't want to do these things, right? There's a personal spec that we all have, and this is what he lays out for us to do. So there's a couple things. There's about four or five things I'll give you for the spec. The first one is the mind. These are the things that we need to check to make sure that our light is functioning properly and how we examine ourselves. So the first one is the mind. What is my mind preoccupied with? Because I guarantee you, whatever you let in most is going to be the thing that comes out most. And when people see your light and it ain't looking too good, well, it's probably going to be because the things that you're letting in aren't good within themselves. The music that you listen to, the places that you go, the movies that you watch, the things that you do, especially if people know you're Christian, because sometimes we're in places people don't know we're Christian, and we kind of like that because we can kind of slide in and slide out, and I'll never meet that person again in my life, or that road rage, I'll probably never see you again ever, so I can do what I want, you know, burg this, blah, 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 cuss that, and then, okay, cool, they don't know I'm a Christian, no harm, no foul. But in reality, all harm, all foul, because the God that you say you serve is right there with you the whole time. He ain't turning right, you turning left, he's turning left with you. He's with you at all times. So we get this imagination where, okay, cool, well, God didn't see that. He didn't do this. No. The mind is something that he is very focused on. So Romans chapter 12, 2 says this. It says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. So the renewal of your mind. So I'm supposed to be renewing my mind on the daily, because the mind is one part of the light that I have. Because we're not just mindless drones walking around, oh, I'm a Christian, and just kind of just robotic. No. Like, we are supposed to love God with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength, right? That's what Scripture tells me. So those are the part of the light. What is my mind preoccupied with? And am I renewing it daily and testing it to discern what the will of God is? Or do we even know what the will of God is, right? Philippians 4:8 also talks about this. It says, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is any worthy of praise, think about these things. That's about as practical as it can get. Because people say, well, I don't really know what to do in my walk. Lord, I don't know how to, where do I even start? Where do I begin? Well, how about we just start changing what we think? Well, what do I think about? Well, here's a list right here. Spec says, whatever's pure, lovely, commendable, excellent, worthy of praise, just, all that stuff. Like, this, we make it so complicated, and we want to leave it to where we don't know these things. So if it's arbitrary or if it's just vague in our mind, then I have some kind of excuse to not live the way that God calls me to live or think the way he needs me to think. No. Bible is spec, okay? Bible is spec. So when I go through, I know exactly what I need to hit every single time, and that's why man is without excuse. Because God forbid that we have to somewhere to where we don't know where to look. And it's like, well, Lord, you never told me. He's like, I gave you the spec. Did you read it? Well, Lord, I didn't know. Well, that's why your light's messed up. Let's get in action and get back on track, right? So what is your mind preoccupied with? That is something that you want to start with, because whatever you think about and dwell on, that's usually where your actions are going to follow. What does Scripture say? We need to capture our thoughts and give it over to surrender to the authority of Christ. So if your mind is racing everywhere it needs to be, you need to go into a screeching halt and be like, Lord, no, I see it going one way. Take this from me, because I know it's going to lead to a dead end that I don't want to end up in. And another mess that you got to clean up because I willingly drove down to the dead end. Who's tired of that? That hamster wheel of just going over and over, and you drive to the same dead end. Oh, Lord, help me. He gets the tow truck and back you out. All right, thanks. And you go right back down to the same dead end. Lord, help me. I'm like, but it's funny, right, when they put it that way, but I'm just as responsible for that as anyone else. And it's hilarious when you look at it, but at the end of the day, it's also sad. Because what is it that keeps us going down that same path over and over and over, to where Jesus is like, it's the same lesson every time. I'm not going to tell you anything new. You have the spec, okay? You keep messing your light up, just follow the spec and you will be okay. I got you. So what is your mind preoccupied with? I don't want to stay there too long. What's the second thing? For an inspection. Second thing is the heart. Is my heart softened towards the will of God, or is it like a stone? Is it softened towards the will of God, or is it like a stone? Because you can say, oh, it's softened towards God, you know, but we like to keep it soft towards the things that benefit us. You know, okay, he loves me. He wants the best for me. Live my best life now. Blah, 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 blah. Yeah, it's soft for those things. But to the will of God, it's like, oh, no, I need you to forgive those who wronged you. I need you to love your enemies and pray for those who curse you. That's the will of the Father. I need you to do those hard things, but no, it's hard for that part. No, it's like a stone when it comes to that, but yet half in, half out. Like, God's not asking for half because he didn't give you half, right? He gave you everything. So my heart, is it softened towards the will of God in all areas, or is it like a stone in some? And I want to let you know, because I buy this lie in large, like a Costco discount. Black Friday, I'm like, okay, the majority of the things is soft, is only a little bit. So if I got more things that are good and less things that are hard, then I should be all right, right? No. Where does it say that in the spec? That 98% is good, but then up, like, no, it's not there. It needs 100%. Because why? Because those areas, the enemies know that you struggle with. You think it's just going to leave you alone? And then let that stone just kind of sit there by itself? No. I was going to make a joke, but I was like, you know what? The devil's like Thanos. He's trying to get all the stones, okay? Oh, he's a stone right there? Yeah, okay, where's another one? Okay, and he get the infinity gauntlet on you, and next thing you know, you all in sin. Like, oh, Lord, what happened? You gave Thanos the stones. What are you doing? Like, soften your heart to the will of God completely, and then that will minimize the ability for him to be able to get a foothold in your life. Because all this is talking, it seems like I'm going off on a tangent, but all this is always reverting back to our opening scripture. And this closing scripture of last week, it says, always abounding in the work of the Lord, right? And then being a light so that way they can see you in the world. All these things take place. You can't do those two things if your check isn't right, if your light isn't working the way it's supposed to, right? So back to the heart. Ezekiel 36, 25 to 27. It says this. It says, I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean from all of your uncleanliness. And from all your idols I will cleanse you. And I will give you a new heart, and a new spirit I will put within you. And I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes and be careful to obey my rules. I mean, he did everything. There's nothing else he can do for you. He made the plan. He made you, knew we would fall, made the plan to come and live and walk and die for you. And not only did he die for you, he's resurrected. And now he's interceding on behalf of you to the Father. And not only that, he gave you the Spirit with a new heart and everything to help you walk it out. He's just dragging you along, like, to heaven. Like, I mean, he's done everything he possibly can, but yet we still find a way to make an excuse to be like, oh, well, it's too hard. I'm like, bruh, what else can I do? I've literally died for you. There's nothing else I can do. All you have to do is accept it and then live in it. And I'm not even asking you to do anything miraculous. All you have to do is just believe and then just follow the spec. Follow the spec and you'll be okay. Why? Because I gave you a new heart. Stop turning around to the old heart that you had. My spirit is within you. If you have difficulty with that, turn to him. He knows exactly what the new heart is and what it's supposed to do and how it functions. So if you, anything in life, if we don't know how it works, what do? You go online, you go on Google, pull up everything. I'm like, how does this work? Okay, well, why don't we do that when it comes to the things of God? Because the Holy Spirit is our teacher, right? Who's supposed to lead us into all truth. That's what the Bible says. So we need to turn to him for those things. Psalms 51:10 also talks about the heart. And this one hit deep. It says, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. That's literally someone asking God to create a new heart in them. But you know what's sad? A lot of people don't ask that because they know it's going to cost them the change. Even if you're already a Christian. Because I can be a believer, but then there's still some parts of my life I don't ask him to change. Why? Because that means I got to change in that. Because I don't like feeling wrong. And no one wants to feel wrong. It's crazy that you get in this little diet, like this little trap of, okay, you know what? Well, I don't want to feel wrong because if I feel wrong, then that means that I'm wrong. And I don't want to feel it. As long as I don't feel that emotion, then I'm not. If I feel like I'm right and I'm true, I'm justified, then therefore I'm right. Can I tell you that by doing that, it doesn't change the fact that you're wrong? I don't care what you feel like. The fact is that you are still wrong in this area, and therefore we need to change. But that's something that we do all the time, and that's another light switch that we do. On and off, on and off. Nope, I'm right. You're wrong. I'm right. You're wrong. So on and so forth. And what's happening is that we continue to just harden our heart towards that instead of asking God to create in me a clean heart. Because if I have to do that, now I got to humble myself. And I'm trying to do that. You humble yourself first. Once you go, then I'll go. Good thing Christ didn't do that for us, right? Because guess who's not lining up for the cross? Nobody in here, including me, including no one in here, right? No one's lining up for that. He went all in before we could do anything. The scripture says before the foundations of the world, the Lamb was slain. And while we were still enemies, he died for our sins. Like there's nothing you can say to that, right? So your heart, is it softened towards the will of God or is it like a stone? That's the second thing. Third thing is the strength. Strength. Am I relying on myself to get things done, or am I trusting in God with the control of my life? Is it all on me, Or am I trusting it all in him? Philippians chapter 4, verses 10 through 13 says this. It says, I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at length you have revived your concern for me. You were indeed concerned for me, but you had no opportunity. Not that I'm speaking of being in need, for I have learned in whatever situation I am to be in to be content. I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound. And in every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. We hear that scripture all the time. See it on tattoos, bumper stickers, and all that. And we talked about it here as well. That's probably one of the most incorrectly used scriptures in the Bible. Because, oh, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Like, to do what? Start a business? Win a football game? I know we're 49ers fans. Did the Lord strengthen them? I don't know. Cardinals fans, hey. I guess the Lord don't like the Cardinals. I don't know. Like, because people, they really go in believing that, no, if I pray, then God's going to lead us to this victory. I'm like, why does he care? Why does he care about you throwing around some pigskin with people? Like, no, like that's, he doesn't care about that. When he says that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, you got to read what preceded all that stuff. Learning how to be content with plenty and low and being with and without hunger and food, like plenty, like all that. He can do all those things because Christ strengthened him. That's the strength that we should be using. Because when we use our own, guess what? Things start to fall apart. I know Sunday after service, I'm hangry. Like, we can't even make it out of the building before we start getting, oh, I need to get something to eat before I snap. I'm like, whoa. I'm like, I thought you can do all things through Christ who strengthen you. I'm like, hey, man, Raising Cane's is down the street. I mean, we can make it. Can you wait 10 minutes? Like, but that's, I'm speaking to myself because there's some times we're in here, you know, having the blessed privilege of the wife being the admin, we're pretty anchored. First one's in, last one's out. Not all the time, though. But, you know, it's a blessing, right, because we're here working for the Lord. But there's some days are long. I'll give you that. And she is a trooper. And I'm earning some points, too. I love you, too, wife. So, ain't about me. I'm going to get some, too. All right, while I'm up here, I got the mic. All right, cool. Okay, cool. But, yeah, am I relying on my own strength to get it done, or am I trusting in God? And it's like, well, how do I do that? How? Because we hear all these beautiful things that sound all well and good, but then how do I actually take that from an abstract thing and make it a reality that I can actually do? How do I put it in God's strength? I don't know how to do that. Philippians 4, 6 through 7 is one example of how you do it. It says this. It says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. That is how you rely on Christ's strength. That's one way to do it. Don't be anxious about anything, but in everything, prayer and supplication, let your thanksgiving, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And then what will it give you? Peace that surpasses all understanding. And what will it guard? Your heart and what? Didn't we just talk about those two? Seems pretty important. So if what he gives me protects certain things, then that should cue my mind to think that, okay, maybe these things are important. Maybe these are some of the things I need to be inspecting. Maybe I need to do some routine maintenance on these things because everything that God has given me is protecting certain things. What about the armor of God, right? We all know that. Shield of faith and all that stuff. All those things he gives us is for a particular reason. So he doesn't just give you things for no reason at all. So you might want to pay attention to, if he's giving me something, what is his intention? What am I using it for? Maybe I should pay attention to it because if it's enough for him to want to protect, then I should be more mindful of it. Instead of just taking it and not knowing what, oh, God, what'd you give me? I don't know what to do with this. Where's the spec? Where's your spec? Collecting dust somewhere? Come on now, dust it off because I need you to give the program because we are running out of time. I'm coming back soon and I need you to be ready and as many people as ready as possible before my return, right? So strength, that was the other one. What's the next one? Spiritual gift. I believe the spiritual gift is also part of your routine maintenance light check. Why is that? It's because am I using the gift I was given? Or is it collecting dust somewhere? Because there's no such thing as a Christian who doesn't have a gift. If you were here any time in the last couple months, when we were in 1 Corinthians talking about spiritual gifts, everybody has one. And there's a call for everyone who has one to use it, right? So are we using it for the sake of the body, and are we using it for the glory of God? 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 4 through 11 says this. It says, now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all and everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For to one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit, and to another, gifts of healing by the same Spirit. To another, the working of miracles, and to another, prophecy. To another, the ability to distinguish spirit between spirits. To another, various kinds of tongues. To another, interpretation of tongues. And all these are empowered by one and the same Spirit, who apportions to each one individually as he wills. Question. Do you know that you're actually useful to God? You're actually useful. Because we get to the point to where we go down this road and it's like, okay, you know what? I was struggling with the fact that God could love me enough to save me, but I feel like I got past that hurdle and I believe that, you know what? He did love me enough to save me, but now that's all I'm good for. I'm just good to be saved. I'm just good enough to be saved, and then I got things I got to do. So it's like, oh, okay, well, it's kind of like this. There's a piece that's missing. I don't know if you ever thought about this or if it ever came to mind, but it feels like, okay, he saved me. I got things to do, but I feel like there's something missing. Like what's missing is that you don't know the value that you have. You're actually worth something, and you're useful to God, which is why he gave you things to do. But hold it. He didn't just give you things to do. He gave you a gift to be able to do them. Am I clueless on what gift I have? Or do I know a gift I have, and I'm choosing not to use it? Guilty as charged. Because I know for a fact the gift I've been given. In fact, I may have a few more I don't even know. But I tell you what, there's sometimes I don't want to go looking for it. Why? Because that's going to cause me to have to cut down more on my me time and then go out and pursue other people and to extend and to reach and do those things. I mentioned earlier that Pastor Will's love for God is relentless, and that terrifies me. I learned last week that scares the crap out of me. Because I don't want to be hurt by the world. Even though I'm in Christ, I don't want to be hurt by the world. What do I mean by that? We're in the world, not of it. But yet we still go through things. And the scripture tells us not to grow weary in doing these things and count all our trials as joys. But for me, I don't like the feeling of not feeling good. So there are times where I will shut myself down, not respond to text, not call people I know I need to have a conversation with, avoid people that I see in sight so I don't have to talk to them, and do these things because why? I don't want to have to go all in on my emotions because I don't like the feeling of being wrecked emotionally. So men, it's something that we struggle with, just flat out. But I've learned that this is something that I struggle with as well. And I'm like, Lord, why can't I fully commit to you? And finally, after putting this together, he's like, you're scared. And it's not that you don't trust me to keep you through it because you know that I will, but you just don't want to go through the process. I'll be dead honest with you. After sermons being here and you see Pastor Will just completely broken about what's going on in life, I'm like, I don't want to feel that pain. And the best way to do that is just turn it off. Just turn the light switch off. No, I'm good. That's another light switch. They're everywhere. There's toggles everywhere. I'm like, you know what? I just don't want to feel it. So therefore, no, I'm not going to feel it. I'm only going to commit so far as to if something were to happen, then you know what? The damage will only be X within an amount that I can handle. Going back to whose strength am I relying on, right? The thing is that when you come to God and you ask him to save you, he isn't just going to save you to the point to where you want to be. He's going to save you to the point to where he wants you to be. And that's going to be way farther than what you're willing to go initially. So we sign up. You know what, Lord? I'll go to the grave with you. Yeehaw. Let's go. You know, saddle up. And then 4, 5, 6 months in, year two, 3 years in, and you're just like, I mean, I'll ride with you, but, you know, I'll stop the car here. You can walk the rest of the way. Like, we commit, but it's like, you know, that's good enough. But it's just like, man, it's something that's terrifying about just being all in emotionally that I didn't realize I had until last week. So I pray to God that for everyone who is here listening to it, the self-examination, I'm only able to realize this because of the maintenance exam I've been giving on myself. Going back to this whole thing of just like, where's my light at and what am I doing with it and why is it on and off and where am I at all, right? So do I know that I'm useful to God and am I using that gift that he gave me? I move to the next one. Family. The spiritual family. Am I immersed in the body of Christ or am I a lone ranger? So I'll let you know right now, scripture says the enemy walks around like a roaring lion, seeking who he can devour, right? What do lions do? They sit down in the cut, lay down in the grass, and wait for one sheep. Well, I don't know, sheep, they eat sheep too. Deer, whatever it is, mongoose, whatever you want to call it, right? They wait for one to just go off astray. And then once it's off, it's way easier to just go after that one. And you would think after so many herd members getting lost in the same pond that we go to get some drink in, you would like, you know what? Let's all move in unison. Don't go. Look, Billy, look. You see, you having a Tom, Jeff, and all them last week. Look, man, it's the same spot every time. It's when we come here, like, what are we doing? Like, you know that you need to stay with the herd because when you're with the group, you are protected. That's why Christ is always talking about the body of Christ. The body of Christ. Do not forsake the assembly. Be in the room with those, like fellowship and all those things. Why? Because the Christian walk was never designed to be walked out by yourself. Ever. It was never designed that way. The Christian walk was always designed to be walked in unison with other people. But yet somehow we find it to where we get to this place to where we make it. And last week, Pastor was talking about we've accepted a gospel that is comfortable. And what's comfortable? Being by myself. Why? Because I got to worry about what nobody else wants or what they think. Going on vacation, I love it when it's just me and Lissandra. Why? Because we ain't got to worry about a group. Because sometimes we want to go with a group, but other times we want to go this way. It's like, we want to go this way too. I'm just like, okay, all right, we'll go this way. And so on and so forth. Now, granted, we still have a great time. Everything's all well and good. But when I'm by myself and it's just me, all I have to do is worry about myself and just me. So for me, I take this gospel and I go and I'm just like, you know what? There are times where, as extroverted as I am, and as much of a people person as I am, I'm definitely in love with seclusion. And that's not good. But why? Because you find yourself not reading, not being in prayer, not being in fellowship and those things, and you start to remove yourself from the pack, and the next thing you know, the enemy's got you. And you wonder, well, how'd that happen? I'm like, who stands in a room and turns the lights off and then turns around and get mad when you hit something? You turn the light off. Like, turn the light on and you won't trip on things because you can see them, right? Like, why are we acting so surprised when we do these things to ourselves? And the family is another portion of it where that happens. Romans chapter 8, verses 12 to 17, it says this. It says, so then, brothers, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to the living. To live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For did you not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear? But you have received the spirit of adoption as sons by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified with him. We're all heirs in Christ together. Not individually, together. Yes, it's my decision that I need to make to be able to choose and follow. But once that happens, I need to assimilate myself with some other believers because doing it on your own is going to be extremely difficult. Jesus had 12 disciples. When he sent them out, he at least sent them out by twos. So can you get at least one person with you? Not by yourself. You don't got to get a whole church. Can you just at least start with one person? And as he continues to mature, you move to the place where he needs you to be, which is what? With the body. In some way, shape, or form. I move to the next one, hope, and this is the last one, the hope. Hope is the last one for the check. It says, am I looking forward to eternity with Christ, or am I more concerned with staying here? Am I looking forward to eternity with Christ, or am I more concerned with staying here? John 14, chapter 1 through 3 says this. It says, let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you that I go to prepare a place for you. Or would I have told you that I will go prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself to where I am. You may be also. Spurgeon says this about examining yourselves, right? Because the hope. Am I hoping in the future things to come? Or am I hoping that I can stay here just a little bit longer and then, Lord, don't come yet? so I can go ahead and get this done. Don't come yet so I can continue to just do the things I want to do. And then when I'm ready, by all means, knock yourself out. Come knock on the door, bags packed, I'm ready to go. Where's our hope at, right? Because if your hope is to be more so staying here, then your light is going to reflect that, right? That's the whole thing of a light. A light shines whatever is put into it. So if my hope is to not go to the Father, but to be here a little bit longer, people are going to tell that I got cares for the world. I'm like, you know, how come you don't come to church on Sunday? Got summer league, football, this. Okay. How come you don't come to church on Bible study? Well, I know what. What you doing? Well, nothing. I'm like, okay. Well, that's odd. What about this? What about that? What about this? And we find a way to get creative and have excuses to why we don't do certain things. Your light is shining something that it ain't completely in Him. It might be time to do a maintenance check to see exactly where my hope is placed, because if it's placed in Him, everything that you do, people will be able to see that He's moving for the glory of God. This isn't His home. He has a destination. He's trying to get somewhere, and I wonder where He's going. Because it looks like that's a place I want to go to, too. Why? Because the light that He's giving off is telling me something. I need to know something. He has something that I'm not sure of, but I know for a fact that is drawing me in, and I need to know what it is. Is your light drawing people in? Is your light even on? Because we got to keep that light on at all times. But this is what Spurgeon says about examining ourselves. He says, do not tell me that you are an old church member. I'm glad to hear it, but still, I beseech you, examine yourself. For a man may be a professor of religion 30 or 40 years, and yet there may come a trial day when his religion shall snap after all and prove to be a rotten bough of the forest. So what's he saying? Like, look, don't tell me how long you've been here. You know, don't tell me what's going on. That's all well and good. I'm happy to hear it, but where are you at? Where are you really at? Because 30 or 40 years in, there might come a trial day, and when that trial day comes, you're just going to break. Why? Because you're not nurturing and growing that light that God gave you. Because if you're looking and caring for the things that God cares for, when a trial day comes, guess what? You count a joy instead of breaking. Paul gave a perfect example of that. Count it all joy. How? Trials suck, okay? I don't like trials, but I'm supposed to count it all joy. So how do I do that if my light isn't at function, if it isn't functioning properly the way it should be, right? So those are just a few things, because I know there's other things you can do. That's not an exhaustive list on how to examine yourself. But to wrap this up, this is just a few questions that I had. He says, so what there is left to do now that our maintenance check is complete? How do we make sure that our lights stay lit and not be found under the basket, but yet on top of the lampstand so that the world that's covered in darkness can actually see it? The simple answer is this: serving. Serving is not optional. Going back to what we were saying last week. If you want your light to be shining and functioning the way it needs to be, then what do we need to do? We need to serve. And it's not something that's made up. Why? Because Christ was the one who came to serve. What does Scripture tell us? In Matthew 20:28, it says, even as the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Jesus couldn't serve people if he never went out to the people. And your light will never shine to others if the only person that's around you is yourself. The whole purpose of you getting a light is to go out and be seen by those so that way they can be drawn in and that they can surrender their life to Christ as well. And serving actually serves three other critical purposes. And after these three, I'll let you out. Maybe. So what are the three purposes that serving actually accomplishes? One is this. One, it's necessary for the heart of the one receiving the service because they experience God's love for them through you. So when you're serving the body and when you're serving someone, that person receiving that service experiences the love of God through you because they see you doing that for them. Whether that's you have a child or whether that's someone you're taking care of and nurturing, the first thing that it does is it actually shows the love of God to them through you. What's the second thing? It's also necessary for the one doing the serving, because by doing so out of love, they are fulfilling the whole of the law. Paul says this in Galatians 5:13-14. It says, for you were called to freedom, brothers. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For the whole of the law is fulfilled in one word. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. So second thing is, when I'm actually serving, not only is that person experiencing the love of God, but I'm fulfilling the whole law that God's calling me to fulfill, serving. So I need to serve. And what's the third thing? The third thing is this. You serving one another is the predominant way that the world will see Christ is in you, because serving allows his light to shine through you. What did Jesus say to his disciples immediately after Judas left the room to go betray him? He said this in John chapter 13, verse 34 to 35. He says, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have loved one another. The best way to get your light to go from dull and under a basket to full illuminance on top of the lampstand, which is the Father's intended purpose, is to serve. Serving. And that's another thing that sometimes I struggle with doing. I'm like, you know what? I don't want to do this because I like where my life is at. I like doing what I'm doing. And if I have to serve, then that means that's going to be less of me, more of them. I have to decrease myself so that way he can increase. And sometimes we flat out just don't want to do it. You know what? Ask me on Thursday, Lord. That's my day off. I'll serve to the fullest. But these days, these are blackouts. Okay? Don't ask me these days. But these days over here, I can do that for you. But yet, we pick and choose. But that's not what God's calling us to do. So what do we take from all this? After everything that I said, if there's nothing else that you walk away with, is this. Check your light. Check your light. Is it even on? First and foremost, is my light even on? Another thing, don't toggle. Stop the toggling. We know good and well when we're toggling the switch, because we know good and well when we're toggling the switch. It's not a surprise when the light goes off. It's like, well, how did I? Come on, man. You know exactly when and where it happens. When it's at work, whatever it goes. We know exactly what we're doing. Why? Because we know how to turn it off and turn it back on. But yet, that's hurting you. I'm here to tell you today, that is killing you. Why? Because it needs to be on at all times. Because when it's on, that means you're doing the things that God needs you to do. And therefore, he's able to grow the fruit that he deposited in you. All the fruit, love, joy, peace, patience. You can't grow those things if you're not actually growing those things. It's straightforward, right? So don't be surprised. Stop turning the light off and tripping on stuff. And then turn around and blame God for having you tripping and ask him to clean the mess up. He's like, hey, no, leave the light on, okay? Walk around it and then follow me this way. I've been there before, so you can trust me, right? Trusting God is hard too. Trusting God is a hard thing to do, because that means I have to let it all go. And sometimes when you trust hard, you hurt hard. When you trust deep, you hurt deep. And the fear of that hurt often keeps people from wanting to trust. Because you know what? I need that collateral damage to be within my own strength to handle. Because if it's not, then I'm going to fall apart. I'm like, well, you're probably right. But you only fall apart if you aren't doing it in God's strength. And it goes back to that check, right? That examining yourself. So our light is not supposed to shine by itself. We need other lights to be able to do that. That's the whole point of the church. Because Christ loved the church and he died for the church, so therefore we must go out into the world so they can see it. And lastly, I think Pastor Will said it best last week. He says, how we live matters. That's really, at the end of the day, what I'm talking about. How you live matters, and how you affect how you live is the things that you do in the time when you're alone at home. Your reading, your praying, your fellowship, all those things like that. These are the things that are important, right? Because if I'm not doing these things, if I'm not checking myself, then next thing you know, I'm going to find myself drifting somewhere and wonder how I got there. He was like, well, I can walk you back all the way where it started. This is where you went left, and you just kept going and going and going. And every single time I try to draw you back, you chose not to turn back around. Your light's off, man. You got a headlight out. Like, they're not all out, but you got one of them. You still get pulled over, okay? You can't drive down the street at night with one light out, because guess what? 5-0 is going to stop you. Be like, hey, your light's on. Your light's not on. So here's a ticket, go get it fixed, so on and so forth. So we understand the concept that lights need to be on at all times. So why is it different when it comes to Christ, who was supposed to be the light of the world? But yet that's the one we're okay with leaving off. Okay, well, I'm not going to get a ticket. Are you sure about that? Because Christ did say when he comes back, everything will be judged by fire, even the righteous work. If you build with wood, it's going to burn up. If you build with precious stones, those things won't. Right? So all these things to say is that how we live matters, and we need to be doing that maintenance routine check. And before we go into next week's sermon, I just wanted to stop and take a moment to just be like, you know what? I have victory now through Christ. Death has no more sting because he has overcome it. So now that I have this victory, that victory should prompt me to go and do something. And what is that? To live different. Because now in my service, chapter 16 is going to start talking about another way that you can serve. Make sure you show up, okay? Because it's a good one. But next thing you know, when it comes through, that we know that the way that I'm going to serve all predicated on the things that I do on a daily basis. So I'll leave you with Ephesians 5, 13 through 14, and then I'll close this out. It says this. It says, but when anything is exposed by the light, it becomes visible. For anything that becomes visible is light. Therefore, it says, awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Why do I need to leave light on? Because I want my life to change. I want my life to change. And not just mine, I want the lives of people that I know to change as well. So I need to leave the light on and let the Spirit in and be like, look, every room that I got, turn the switches on. Turn them on. So the Spirit can see them and be like, hey, this is something that's not of me. I need you to move this out and let me move in. But it's difficult to do that. And nor will the Spirit ask you to turn on all the lights at the same time. Because if God really revealed to us everything that we needed to work on all at once, oh, we explode. Burst into flames and die on the spot. Because there's too much in us that we need to work on that we need to do at the same time. So God, he takes it step by step. He knows what you're capable of handling. He made you. He knows what it is that you struggle with. He's walking with you, right? So we need to leave the lights on, not only for our own self, because when we do it for that, then the light that we have that's supposed to shine to everyone else will be shining the way it needs to shine. So don't worry about how things were last week, how things are going, because you're like, you know what? I got to play catch up. Lord, I went so far astray, then I need to make up for this in X, Y, and Z. It's like, Lord's like, what are you talking about? Like, forget about yesterday, the things in the past. Keep your head moving forward and plow forward. Because those who look backwards aren't fit for the kingdom. That's what the Bible tells me. So I'm not saying just disregard the things that you've done, but know that those things can be forgiven and that we have the opportunity today to make that decision to change that direction, turn that light on, and let that be the thing that people can see. Does that make sense? Amen? It makes sense because it was definitely hitting me as we're putting it together. So again, I thank God for this body. I thank God for everyone that's here. Pastor Will, you know we love you. And everything that's there, but I just pray that as we continue to move on, as the year ends, don't turn the light off and don't just leave it on because it's Christmas. And then turn it off on New Year's because you got to turn up. Like, no. You got Christmas lights on at the house. Make sure you leave the real light on, which is the Christ in you. Amen? So let's stand. Gracious Father, Lord, I want to say thank you so much for just another blessed opportunity to be in your house. Father, I know that there are so many things that we can be thankful for that we can continue to just pray for in eternity, Father, and never come to the exhaustive list of the things that we can thank you for. But Lord, one thing that I know for sure that I can say on behalf of everyone here is that we are so thankful for the salvation and the free gift of grace that you gave us. Lord, you did everything that you possibly could for us to be able to have this light that's on the inside of us. And I pray that if we know that our light has not been shining the way it needs to, that we can go back and reflect, Lord, and look at these things and check and examine ourselves to know that you are still with us and you are there to be able to help us change that direction and get that light shining how you need it to be. Father, we are so desperate for your return, Lord, but as we await your return, Lord, I pray that we are a church body that is able to just be that way and be that light that is able to abound in your works, Lord, and be steadfast and unmovable because we have you within us. So we thank you for that, Lord. We love you for everything that you do. And we ask all this in your son's name we pray. Amen. Amen. Amen.